Go ahead and have a seat. I'm Pastor Mike. I'm one of the pastors here at the church. First, I'm guessing everyone found a parking spot, and I do apologize if you had to park someplace really strange. I should have had this video, but there's some videos of like cars parked on their sides and that sort of thing. But I'm just glad that you're here, because I'm praying that God does something in us and opens our eyes in some way. There's a verse in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9, that reads like this. He said, God said, go and tell the people, be ever hearing, but never understanding, be ever seeing, but never perceiving. So this is what's happened. God comes to Isaiah. Isaiah, I want you to be my prophet. I want you to be my spokesperson. I want you to talk for me. I want you to tell the people that I love, the nation Israel, a few things for me. And so the nation has seen a lot of crazy things. The parting of the Red Sea, they were fed by manna. They saw the 10 plagues. They saw the water from the rock. They marched into the promised land, walked around the walls of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down. They saw a lot of cool God stories. But at this point in their history, they're in the promised land, and all they're seeing is the pieces. All they're seeing, they're not really seeing what they should be seeing. Let me put it this way. If you are a parent in here, you may understand that your kids see though they don't see. They see a lot of different things, but you, let me put it this way. They may come into your room at night and you'd be like, all right, are you all set for tomorrow for school? You're good? Got your homework in your bag? Yes. Do you have your lunch in your bag? Yes. Do you have your socks laid out? Do you have your clothes all washed? Yes, 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 yes. But do you know as a parent that your kids will come in the next morning and they will say, I can't find, and you could fill in the blank. If you have been a parent, you know that your list is huge. I can't find my lunch. I can't find my money. I can't find my socks. I can't find my pants. I can't find my homework. I can't find my bag. I can't find, and you know what it is? They come back and they're like, well, it's not my fault. It's my brother or sister's fault. They must have moved it. They must have taken it. Let me just paint it out in my house. I don't know if this is how it works out in your house. They come in and we'll be like, all right, did you get your homework done? Did you put it away? Good. The next morning they wake up 2 minutes before the bus is coming. They're brushing their teeth real quick. They go to the bag and their homework's not in the bag. In fact, they probably haven't even found the bag yet. They're like, Mom, where's my homework? It's not there. Check the bag. I can't find the bag. Well, you put it in the back porch. I can't find the back porch. It's right where we left it the last time that you walked into the house. You know, they're looking everywhere. And you can send them back to the bag 5-6 times, and you know the truth, right? They're not going to see it any of the 6 times they go there. But the moment you as a parent walk to the bag and calmly unzip it, it probably wasn't even zipped to begin with, but you calmly pull out it, and you're like, here is your homework. Those seeing, they do not see. This is how it happens in my house. I walk through the house. I'm like, how in the world do they not see that their room is a mess? How in the world do I, like, all I see is, like, the money going. You know, the lights are all on. You guys ever feel that way? And it's going, going, going. How do they not see that every light upstairs is on and they don't see it? How do they not? The doors, the back doors. I walk by my back door all the time. It's always open. And I'm like, how do you not see? I'm pointing it out to you. I'm being a good father. And I'm very nicely, sarcastically telling you the back door is open. How do you not get it? Those seeing, they do not see. Some of you are teachers in here. And have you ever, like, taught, and you're, like, in the zone. You're like, this is the best lesson that you've ever done. You are making math and science interesting like it's never been. And you're, like, you're laughing at your own jokes because you're funny. And you're looking out to your students, and you're like, those seeing and hearing, they're not seeing or hearing anything. They have this stone look. They're getting nothing. It's bouncing off. They're like texting in their pocket. Which I don't even know how they do it, but they're texting. They're like sleeping with their eyes open. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear. You ever ridden with somebody, or they've ridden with you, and you're driving down County Route 66, route or route, depending on which part of the line you live in. I don't know where you live. And you're driving down, and they're like, look at that. We have a Popeyes. When did that come in? It must have just been built. And you're like, it's been here for months. though seeing, they do not see. And I've told many of this story before. We had lived in a house in Chambersburg, and one stupid moment of my life, I thought I could fix something, and so I climb up into the attic, and I'm walking across the beams, and my foot slips, and my foot goes through the floor, and then there's like insulation everywhere, and my wife's looking up, and like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm just saying hi. I don't know what I'm doing. Just falling. I'm like, I'm just being an idiot. Like, I'm very good at it. And so what I did was I put cardboard over it. All right? Fixed it. It's fixed. And for a while I saw it. For a while I like, yep, I need to do something with that. And after a while, after year two and three and four, I'm like, you don't even see it anymore. Though seeing, you do not see. I'll just give you one more. It's funny because I can remember my kids' sports games like they're not. Like you give me a game, I'm like, yeah, they did this in this game. They scored this many points, this many rebounds. They've pitched this way. They had this hit to this center field. We were playing this team. But my wife can ask me what we're doing next week that she went over three times, and I can't remember a thing. I can't, you know, though seeing, we do not see, though hearing, they do not hear. So I'm getting to a point. You're like, as we're looking this morning, we walk in Easter morning, celebrating Good Friday when Christ died, and we're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. But many of you have walked this path year after year after year. You've been to church, been to mass, been to Sunday school. You've heard the story. You got the details. You got the theology. You know the fancy words for atonement and sanctification. And yet there's something, you have it up here, but something, there's a disconnect in here. Like, though seeing, you do not see. I want you to turn your Bible to Luke chapter 24. This is the last chapter of the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel is about Jesus, who is God, who came to earth to rescue us. He is the Redeemer. He came to buy us back. He became to come be the Messiah, the Christ. And this is what it says. Luke 24, verse 3. Now that same day, two of his disciples, were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And so they're traveling from Jerusalem to Emmaus, which is 7 miles, which in our time is like 7 minutes. But in their time, they're walking it. And so as they're walking, they're talking. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And so they're looking at all the pieces. They're looking at all the different details. They're looking at, man, politics. Why is things so messed up in our world? They're looking at what happened that whole weekend of with Jesus. He who is supposed to be God, but he died 2 days ago. Let me read it to you what they actually said. Verse 17 says, they stood still, their faces downcast. One of them named Cleopas asked him, verse 19 says, about Jesus of Nazareth, they replied, he was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. Here we go. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. And so they're like, they're just talking. They're like, I don't get this. I don't get this religion, this crucifixion thing. I don't get this Jesus thing. I don't get this, what this is all about. And all of a sudden, as they're walking down the road, there's someone that shows up named Jesus. Like, they don't know it's Jesus. They've met him before. They've followed him a little bit. But they don't know it's him. And he starts leaning in. He's like, what are you guys talking about? And they're like, are you kidding me? Have you not followed the news? Haven't you watched CNN? Don't you get what's going on? You missed what's going on? Let me tell you, there's this Jesus guy and our people, they crucified him. They killed him. And we had our hope set on him coming to make things right. And our life is not right. And so they're wrestling through, and here's just Jesus just talking along the way, walking with them. And I wonder sometimes, you guys start bringing the pieces to the middle? If we get so focused on a piece that we miss the whole thing. Does that make sense? Like, you're like, I lost a loved one. I lost someone that I cared about. I prayed. I sought God. I I did what I went to church, and I don't get why I prayed so hard and I lost someone that I dearly loved. Maybe it's physically. You're like looking at where you are physically. You're looking at the peace. You're like, I don't get this peace. I don't get. I'm looking at this, and I know that God, I was told that God was good and that God is loving, but I don't get, when I'm looking at this, I see nothing. I just see a little bit of wet paint. I just see a little bit of junk in it, and you start looking at all the pieces of your life, and you're like, man, I don't get it. And so you just throw it all away. You throw this Jesus away. You're like, obviously, if God was who the Bible says he is, our world would be different. I mean, isn't that, you're looking at a piece. You're looking at one part of the puzzle. And you're like, man, I just don't get it. In the Old Testament, they had this, well, even today, they have this thing called a veil. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the veil. The veil today would be over the bride. You know, so the bride sometimes comes down, they have a veil over their face, and the veil covers the face so that the groom can't quite see them yet. Well, the Old Testament had a veil as well. The veil was in the temple. The temple is where God lived. And there was the Holy of Holies, and then there was the other place. And between the two, there was a veil. And so people could stand on the outside looking in, but they couldn't see anything. There was something blocked in their eyes. They could see the pieces. They could hear stories. But they couldn't quite understand who is God. And all of a sudden, as you're looking at the various pieces of our life, you're kind of looking at this modern piece of art. You know what modern is, right? It means that you have no idea what it is. But it's good, and it's worth a lot of money. But you're looking at it, you're like, I don't, listen to it this way. You're putting your pieces together, how you've seen God, and how you have all the things that you're experiencing, how your marriage is, and how your money is. You're looking at all your different pieces, and you're looking at it like, what in the world is this? Let me go back this way. When you were 17, 18, you had a plan for your life. You knew where you wanted to be. And right now, 20, 30, 40 years later, you're looking at the pieces like, this is not what I planned. This is not what I was hoping for. And so you've thrown God away. But sometimes, as the pieces get moved around, as you start looking not at the individual piece, you look at the whole thing. Maybe sometimes things come into play. Like you can start seeing again. And so Jesus is walking with them. They don't know it's Jesus. And he's talking with them. He's questioning them. He's like, I know you don't get the pieces. But you know, today we're living in a Friday world waiting for Sunday. You know what I mean? We're living in a messed up, broken world. When things aren't, all the pieces aren't together yet, and we're like wondering why they're not together, it's because Sunday's not here yet. Sunday's coming. Sunday's going to get here. And when Sunday comes, you start seeing it come together a little bit like, oh, that's why. Oh, I get that. I understand that. And slowly, as Jesus takes the veil off, you start seeing things in a whole different perspective. What was once a piece is now God showing up powerfully in your life. What was once like, I don't get this. I don't understand Jesus. I don't understand this Friday thing. Now you're like, oh, I see about Jesus. I know what he came to do. This is what Romans 8, 31, 32 says. It says, what then shall I say in response to this? He said, what do I say to this? If God is for you, who can be against you? He who did not spare his own son, but put him on the cross, let him be crucified, put a crown of thorns on his head, got beaten to a pulp. If the God of the universe did that, how will he not also graciously give you all things? You know what that means? That if you're looking at the cross and you're like, man, I'm starting to get with this Jesus that he did come to save, he did come to rescue, he did come to put the pieces together of my life, my brokenness. If he did that, will he not also put the rest of your pieces together? Listen to me. To the flip side of this, Jesus came to be crucified, but there's a part of this verse that you need to read. Go back to Isaiah 6, 9, and 10. It says this, "Those seeing they do not see, though hearing they do not hear. They're not perceiving, make the hearts of people callous. Their hearts aren't right, their ears are dull, their eyes are closed. But listen, otherwise, if they would see with their eyes, if they would hear with their ears, if they would understand with their hearts, they could be turned and," do you get the phrase? "Healed." He says, you know the flip side of Good Friday? It's Sunday. It's today. Christ went into the grave. He came back to life on the third day. You know what that guarantees us? That although we may be living in a Friday world right now in your life, your pieces are a mess. Your marriage may be a mess. Your finances may be a mess. Your future may be a mess. You may be living in a messed up pieces. That there is hope because there is a God who loves you and wants to give you new life. See, God created you not to be a mess, not to be a broken piece. He created a beauty in you. He created something glorious in you. This is what the Bible says in Ephesians 2:10. It says, we are God's workmanship. Another way to say it, we are God's masterpiece. We are God's piece of art. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good, which God prepared in advance for us to do. He said, man, God's been working on you for a long time. And let me tell you, for a long time, many of you have not seen it. God's been, you ever heard of orchestration? God's an orchestrator. We have this term at Higher Hope. Some of you have been here for the first time. We have this term called only God stories. Only God stories are stories in our life that are not by accident. They are God stories that only can be explained by God showing up. And I'm telling you, if you would look, if your veil would be taken off, if you could really see the way God sees, you would see God orchestrating and orchestrating and he's been trying to get your attention. He's been trying to show you he loves you. You're here this morning because he's been working for a long period of time that you may have never noticed. This may be the first time you've been in a church in forever. And you know that you're here for a purpose this morning. The God of the universe is looking down and he doesn't see a crowd of however many people. He doesn't even care about the crowd. He cares about you. And he's looking down saying, I want them to experience life. You know what Jesus says in John 10:10? This is our theme verse here at Higher Hope. I have come, Jesus has come, that we may have life and have it to the full. He has not come to steal. He has not come to enslave you. He came to give you a life that is absolutely incredibly beautiful with all the pieces, as broken as they are, as sometimes even now in my life, I'm looking back, I'm like, I still don't get it. I don't see it. I don't understand some of the things. And I talk to many of you, and I wish I could give you an answer for why something happened. I wish I could give you a solution, a way to solve your problems. And I don't. All I can tell you is, from God's perspective, somehow it makes sense. Like God sees the 30,000-foot view, looking down. I know some of you will make fun of me of this. All right, so if you ever, I lived in a family that sewed. All right, so I got a lot of experience watching sewing. And so if you ever looked at a cross-stitch piece, all right, some of you are like, I don't even know what that is. Okay, just follow me. A cross-stitch piece is this thing where they go up and down. It's called stitching, and they put it together, and there's like this picture on front. But if you ever turn one of those things over, you see a tangled mess of knots and strings, and it's kind of ugly from the bottom. And I wonder sometimes if that's not how God sees the beauty from the top, and we see the knots from the bottom, but if we could see with his eyes, we'd be like, wow, God, that's really good. Let me put it this way. Some of you are hitting rock bottom this morning. Like you've never seen your life lower than it is right now. In fact, some of you, probably in the last 2 days, someone probably in here has thought about ending their life. My life's no longer worth anything. It's crap. It's junk. It's not worth anything. And you're like, God would not allow me if he existed to be right here. Can I just tell you that maybe God allows you to be there because he wants you so desperately to look up. Maybe he wants you to see life, hope. And that sometimes when we hit bottom, we have no place else to go. And so God is the only one we can turn to. So maybe out of your deepest desperation, God can be the most powerful. Let me put it this way. Without Friday, there can't be a Sunday. Do you understand what I'm saying? Without a death, there can't be a resurrection. Without a low point, without a bomb the barrel, there can't be a dramatic rescue by your Savior. Without a need, there can't be someone who meets the need. And sometimes the greatest things that God does in our life are in the moments of our lowest points. Sometimes the greatest things that the ways he shows up, the greatest only God stories are in our desperate need. And let me just end with this little thought. We're not living Sunday yet. We're still living in a Friday world. But if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, if you know him and you've invited him into your life, Sunday is coming. And you know what Sunday means? There's no more death. There's no more tears. There's no more struggle. There's no more pain. There's no more broken relationships. There's no more anger. There's no more like broken. There's no bottom of the barrel. There will be a day when Christ will come and make everything right. We're not there yet, but we're hoping for that day. And so I hope this morning, this is really the goal, that the veil will be taken off your eyes, that you'll be able to see. I don't want you to be the people that though seeing, though you've seen it all, you've missed it. Because what God wants to do in your life today is bring healing. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, you create a beautiful masterpiece. I mean, I've seen so many stories of you showing up. I'm amazed at your goodness. I'm amazed at your grace. I'm amazed at how you work and how you show up. And God, in this room this morning, there are some people who need you desperately to show up. And so I ask that you do that, God. Do something powerful. Do something amazing. Be their rescuer. Be their savior. And may we see you in a whole new way. In Jesus' name, amen.